I feel compelled of the Lord to try to finish that today. I not only want you to turn to 3 John, but I also want you to get 2 Timothy chapter 4 and find both of those places and just be ready to look at both. We'll start in the book of 1 John, read that, and then we'll read just a couple of scriptures out of verses out of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. If you found that, give you time to do so. 3 John and 2 Timothy chapter 4. Stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Verse number 1 of 3 John, just one chapter. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And then I want you to look at verse number 12. Now, we looked at verse 9. We talked about another fellow here in 3 John, but we're looking at verse 12 right now. Demetrius hath good reporting of all men, of the truth itself. Yea, we also by record, and you know that our record is true. Back in the 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Verse number 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to pray. Thank you for the songs that have been sung, and Lord, what a joy to our hearts to hear the singing of the songs. Blessing it is to our hearts today to know that it's real. And God, I thank you and praise you that it's real. And then, Lord, as we pray today, we not fail to remember those who could not come. I pray today for Brother Smiley Gilbert in a special way. I ask you to help all the sick and all those that would love to be here and could not make it. I pray you'd help them. Then, Father, I pray today that you'd help all those who've come into the house of God, that you'd speak to their hearts. And I know there's some here today that are not physically well. They're hurting some. So I pray you'd help them. I pray for those who are here and they're going through struggles in their life, whatever that may be, that you bless them. I pray for those young parents that are raising children. I ask God to help them raise them for the Lord Jesus. Then, Father, I pray for moms and dads and for all that are here, that we'd all look unto you and find strength and help. Then, Father, we realize the fact those may be here that know not the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and they're lost. They need to be saved. I pray for convicting power of the Holy Ghost to be real upon their hearts. And even right now, Lord, that you'd open their minds to hear, and that the light may shine in from heaven. They may see and realize that Jesus Christ is a Savior, and they, as a sinner, can be saved. I pray you'd have your way, magnify yourself, and help all of us see ourselves like you want us to see ourselves and like you see us, and let us respond accordingly. Thank you now for the Lord Jesus, the blood, I plead the victory in him and for his glory, and in his name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I started the message on last Sunday on what kind of a testimony do you have? And as we dealt with that, I could say what kind of testimony do we have, and including myself, and I do include myself, but since I'm doing the preaching and you're doing the listening, I just word it as, what kind of testimony do you have, and including myself. We all have some kind of a testimony. Everybody does. Everybody in the house does. And a testimony is something that you give that's happened to you, and we talk about testimonies. But notice in verse number 3 of 3 John, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in thee, and even as thou walkest in the truth. And here's what he's saying about Gaius was that others have testified of him and are telling about his life. And so sometimes we stand in service and give testimony with our lips, and that's good. Anytime anybody stands and give a testimony that God's in, and you can tell it's sincere from the heart, and that it really means something to them, the what they're saying, it blesses not only them, but it blesses us. It blesses others in the house. A testimony is always a blessing when it is real in your heart. Amen. Now, when those that may sometimes stand and they got other things to say other than praising God for what he's done for them, that's not testifying. It's what God has done in their life. And they're happy about it, and they're testifying of it and giving God glory. That's good. And I praise God for it. But then there's also a testimony that we have of how we live and what our lives say about us. And so I prayed that God would help all of us see ourselves like God sees us and be honest with ourselves. I'm concerned about what kind of a testimony that I have. I want to leave behind a good testimony. And while I live, I want to leave a testimony that others look and they see and they say certain things. And I hope everybody understands what I'm saying. If you're not saved, then certainly you have no testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ, about what he has done for you, but your life does say something about you. And if you're not saved, it says something about that you're not trusting Jesus and that you're lost without God, that you're going to hell. And I don't say that with joy in my heart. I say that with a burden in my heart, that anybody that is not saved is lost. And if they're lost, then that means they're going to have to leave this world without Jesus. If they leave the world without Jesus, then that means they're going to go to hell. You say, preacher, are you one of those hellfire damnation preachers? I'm guilty. I plead guilty to it. I'm one of those. And you say, well, preacher, that doesn't set good. It doesn't set good if you're lost, because it makes you realize where you are. And I'm not trying to upset you as such. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. And if preaching on hell, going to hell, bothers you, then I pray today that you'll let God help you so that you can be saved and know that you're going to heaven, and then it won't bother you anymore. You rejoice in the fact that you're saved and going to heaven. I'm glad it's real. As Sister sang that song, Sister Pam sang that song about wanting to know it's real. I'm glad she can know it's real. She knows she's not going to hell, but she's going to heaven. And not only that, she knows it's real right now in this life, and that she's enjoying living for God. I say hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you can enjoy living for God? Living for God is not a drudgery. Living for God is not something you dread. And some people think being saved is you lose all joy, and that you just dry up and never enjoy anything and always against everything. Now, let me say this. I'm against sin. I'm against the devil. I'm against the things, the humanistic way of thinking. But I'm glad there's some joy in God. There's some positive things. Amen. And living for God. So I pray today, if you're not saved, that God will help you and that you'll see and realize the fact that you can come to know Christ Jesus as your Savior. Let me just insert this here, that to be saved is, number one, realize that you're lost. Realize that you're lost. Nobody ever got saved until they got lost. They had to realize the fact. The choir sings that song sometimes. I'm glad I got lost so I could get found. Amen. I'm glad I got lost so one day God showed me how lost I was, how unsaved I was, and I was going to hell. I needed a Savior. And he showed me then that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God, that he came from heaven, went to the cross of Calvary, and died for my sin, took my place, that was buried, and that he rose again the third day, and then he sent it back unto the Father, and that he's interceding for everybody that will come. He will save and forgive and birth them in the family of God, and you can know that it's real. And today, friend, if you don't know that it's real in your heart, I encourage you to come and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord. You say, preacher, what must I do? Confess that you're a sinner and confess that Jesus is a Savior. Ask God to save you and trust him. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. And so today I pray that you'll come and be saved and born in the family of God. Well, preacher, I got to get better. I'm not good enough to get saved. You're a good candidate to be saved. If you realize you're not good enough, that's a good place to be, because you're not good enough to be saved. You're not good enough to get to heaven. You're not good enough to merit anything. You must realize the fact that you're lost and without God, and that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, and come to Him and let Him save you and birth you in the family of God. Aren't you glad that can be and that can happen? Amen. I'm glad that you can be saved and be born in the family of God. There's three classes really here, but the two main classes are people in the house today. And a crowd this size, I promise you, there are some people here that do not know Jesus Christ personally as their Savior. That crowd's here. And then the other crowd is that crowd that is saved, and they know that it's real, that they're saved. Then there's another third classification you could throw in that comes with that class that's saved. There are those that are saved, but their life has grown cold, indifferent, and far away from God. And they need to come, let God restore the joy of that salvation. Brother Tim sang that song this morning. I'm glad I've never come to Him and confessed to Him that He did not forgive and cleanse. I praise God and thank God for it. Well, let me review quickly, then I'm going to try to finish up the message itself. We talked about Gaius, and he was that man that was saved and was prospering. He was growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and let's leave it at that. And that's all I'll say this morning. But it's good to be saved, and when you get saved, you need to grow. If you're going to grow, you have to eat. And you're eating on the Word of God. Amen. These babies around here, and that little baby I had a while ago, Ethan, he's eating. I saw his grandma hold him a while ago and had a bottle in his mouth, and he was eating away. Amen. I was thinking, while she's holding him and he's eating now, is he going to spit up? But anyway, we got by that. But he did all right. But he has to eat. If he didn't eat, he wouldn't grow. And people get saved, and they don't come to church, and don't read the Word of God, and they don't pray. They're not eating right, and they don't grow. They don't get in all that. But anyway, Gaius, he was growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Then we talked about Demas that we read about in 2 Timothy 4 and 10. And Demas was a deserter. He left Paul, and you can hear the sadness in Paul's voice as he said, "Demas hath forsaken me, and having loved this present world." Hey, some people here today that they were saved and they grew for a while, but then they forsook God. They're out of the will of God and out there. And I realize Demas can be one of those that you can make application of. They've never saved, just made a profession, got in. You can argue that, and there's good argument for that. But you can also say, to picture somebody saved, got in, but just got entangled with things of this world, got messed up. But I'm glad, praise God, I know one that can unmess the mess. Amen. I'm glad one that can put pieces back together. Amen. And Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall, and all the king's men and horses couldn't put him back together again. But I'm glad I got one that can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Amen. Praise God, he can do that. But anyway, we talked about Demas and dealt with him. Then we talked about Luke. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11. And Luke is that dependable one. And Paul cried, after he said, "Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world." Immediately he said, Luke, only Luke is with me. And you hear joy in that. Is that somebody's sticking with me. And I'm glad for that, praise God. Amen, somebody is sticking with me. And I like that as a preacher, amen, those that stick with me, and I like it as those that stick with God and stick in there and hang in there for God, do things for God, and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this past week, I'm privileged to go up to Pigeon Forge for a couple of nights and be in the couple's retreat and listen to preaching and heard some good preaching and dealing a whole lot of this thing about how to survive. And I'm glad, praise God, that we can survive. And preachers emphasize this about sticking with the stuff, amen, and sticking with the preacher, sticking with the church and the things of God. And Melissa and Randy, I encourage them again, stick with the right kind of stuff. Yeah. Amen. Stick in there and live right. And that's the best teaching you get. Give that Bible, that teaching to the Word of God, to that child but give a life that's lived before that child that they can see that loves God and puts God first. Amen. Be dependable. Amen. Be dependable. All of us need to be dependable. And Paul was counting on, and Luke was a doctor, by the way. He wasn't somebody's unlearned. He was a doctor of that day. And he was, well, undoubtedly knowledgeable of his day and educated of his day. But he loved God. And that man of God, Paul, was not, and he even talked about his own appearance. It didn't have any appeal to it. And that the world looked at him and thought he was some kind of a dried up runt probably, but God looked at him as God's man, and Luke saw him as somebody that he could help, and he stuck in there dependable. And it's good to be dependable, and we talked about that. What kind of testimony are you leaving behind? Dependable, one that is a deserter, one that is prospering, growing in grace. What kind are you? And then we talked about another one, a divider. In verse number 9 of 3 John, back in 3 John now, and verse number 9, Diophanes, or however you want to say his name, he's that one that he divided people. He wouldn't help people along the way. Then some came by, others wanted to help. He wouldn't even let them help. And then he even caused people to leave the church. And so he's that one that causes trouble. And some folk have that kind of a testimony. And they you say, preacher, you ought not preach like that. Might as well tell the truth. Amen. And so let's be dependable and helpers, not dividers, not those that cause problems and difficulties and that kind of thing. But live for God and let God help us along the way. And I'm thinking today about some things that's happening in our day and our time. I pray God would help us. And there's nothing wrong with computers and cell phones and all that kind of thing if it's used right. But if it's used wrong, it's wrong. Yeah. Amen. And I don't know anything about computers much except how to turn. I did learn how to turn it on. I have learned how to do one thing or two on it. And I'm trying. But let me say this. Facebook, I don't know anything about. I just hear people talk about it. And what it becomes sometimes is a gossip session. And get on there and tell about who got up that morning, who went to the store, and who bought a candy bar, and who, I don't care what you did. Tell you the truth about it. Amen. No, all that kind of stuff. And then to get on cell phones, and some of you folk, and I guess some adults do it. I know young folk can do it. They can use a cell phone and not even look at it. Text on it and not even look at it. And they're trying to pass laws about driving a car. And maybe we all pass one in the church. Turn your cell phones off when you come in. Amen. Unless you're an emergency crew member or a police officer or something, have to have one, then turn it off. Amen. You don't need to be texting during church. Right. Y'all still with me? I didn't lose anybody on that one, did I? And y'all still hanging around and close by. But all these things, and we need to understand, and some things we just need to pray about and ask God to help us with and go on for God. Amen. Well, let me get to the last two I wanted to get to, because that's where I wanted to get to, as I get tied up too much in these. But look at verse number 12. Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. He said, here's one. I call him that one that is diligent. He has a good report of all men. Inside, outside, he has a good report. Did you know if you have a good testimony, right kind of a testimony, even those that may not agree with you, they'll still respect you as having integrity and being truthful. Amen. They'll have some of that with you. I've worked with folk in the past. I'm talking about when I worked public job, and that's a long time ago as such, but I worked with some men that they were wouldn't talk right and all that, but around me they would at least have some respect, and they would try to bring their language in control. One of them told me one day, said, it's amazing. I worked second shift because I was going to school during the day. I'd come in to work, and they'd say, it's amazing how the language changes. 4 o'clock, it changed. And I was glad for that. I realized today you may not have the same respect you had back then. with that, but they probably, I had some I know didn't agree with me, but I found some of them that they called me aside when they had trouble, and they say, would you pray for us? Would you pray for me? They wouldn't say it in front of the other men. They wouldn't talk to me about it in front of the other men, but they call you aside. Some of y'all that work with people on the job know what I'm talking about. They may, when the others are laughing and making jokes, they may join in with that crowd. But down deep inside, they know if you have a good testimony. Down deep inside, they know if you really love God. Down deep inside, they know if you have integrity. Down deep inside, they know if you're truthful or not. They know where you're playing the hypocrite or not. They know when you invite them to church that you're living a life on the job that backs up what you're saying. Demetrius is one of those kind. He's one of those kind, had that kind of a testimony within and without. He loved the truth. I said before when I talked about Gaius, truth, Jesus said, I am the truth. He's truth. But let me say, you can't separate the truth from the word of God. Amen. Amen. Turn in Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse number 9. Psalms 119, verse number 9. I'll read several verses out of 119. So if you're turning there and just listen closely, or turn and follow with me. Wherewithal, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Heed the word of God. Verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. We need the word of God. It gives light. Gives understanding. Verse number 133. Order my steps in thy word. If your steps are ordered in the word of God, it'll be right. Verse 140. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. It's pure. Look at verse 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word. For all thy commandments are righteous. Everything he says is right. Verse 174. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord. And thy law is my delight. He's talking about the word of God. That word, verse in Psalm 1, talked about delighting in the word of God. Talked about that word being real. And I say to you today, that truth that Demetrius was walking in was the word of God and truth of it. And they saw it inside the church. They saw it outside the church. They saw it in his life and everywhere that he went. But I want you to turn with me, please. We want to look at the last one I want to look at in this series that I've been trying to give you about what kind of testimony do you have? Where do you fit? Somewhere in this, you're going to fit somewhere. And I want to talk about that one that was restored. Look back in Acts chapter number, well, let's look at 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11 first. I want to talk about Mark, not Mark Hill. Mark in the word of God. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable me for the ministry. But I want you to look back in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 5. Acts 13, verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. John Mark, he was there with them. Now look in chapter 15, Acts chapter 15 and verse 37. Acts 15, verse 37. Listen to what it says. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now remember, he'd gone on one journey with them. So he said, going to take Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Now Mark had forsaken them. He left them. On that first journey, he'd been with them, then he left them. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. Now here we find that Paul and Silas having a problem here.
and Barnabas, and Barnabas took Mark, and they went together, and Paul and Silas went together, and they separated their ways. But I'm interested in this story about Mark, because Mark started out well on the journey. I believe that he meant well when he started out on the first missionary journey that he went on. I believe that he meant to stay there, meant to go with them and help them, and he was. And said they had John to their minister. In chapter 13, verse 15, he said he was helping them and working with them. But then something happened, and I don't know where he got homesick. I don't know where he got discouraged. I don't know what happened, but something happened, and he went back. And then when it come time to go again, he was ready and wanted to go again. But Paul said, not so. I don't want him to go. He forsook us one time. I do not want him to go and forsake us again. But Barnabas said he'd take him with him. And then the story goes on mainly about Paul and Silas from there on. But that be as it may, their disagreement be as it may, here's where I want you to see today. I thank God that God can help you be restored. Paul would not take Mark on that journey with him. He refused to do so because Mark had forsaken before. But then Barnabas, he took him. And then Paul, somewhere along the way, began to realize, hey, John Mark has got his life together. He's trying to serve God. And there in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he said, bring him. He's profitable for me and for the ministry. I say hallelujah. He's saying now Mark's ready. I'm ready to take him now. He can help me. Hey, aren't you glad that God didn't throw away the clay? Aren't you glad when you messed up that God didn't throw you in a trash dump and say, I'll never again bless you. I'll never again give you a touch of God. I'll never again help you anyway. But oh, hallelujah, that God said, I'll have mercy and grace. I've never come to him yet, Brother Tim, and ask him to help me, forgive me, and restore the joy. And God has not heard my cry and help me. Amen. Aren't you glad he died? I'm glad. Praise God he does. And Mark came, and Paul sitting there in prison said, I need him. Send Mark to me. I need him. He's profitable to me. He'd forsook him one time, but now we've got over that. We've got past that. We've moved on, and they both have probably grown in grace and said, now he's good. He's all right. Bring him. Send him to me. He can help me. I say, hallelujah. I'm glad God can help you. Amen. Now let me plug us in sometime. Folk get out of the will of God and they disqualify themselves from certain offices of the church. I realize that. But they don't disqualify themselves from being a servant of God. Amen. Amen. They can still serve God some way. Amen. May disqualify from an office. And I believe that preachers ought to be a husband of one wife. Amen. That's what the Bible says. I believe that. I believe deacons ought to be the same. Amen. I believe there's some other qualifications given as well as that. That needs to be had, and that ought to be true too. And so we read about all these things, but let me say to you, I'm glad as far as the joy of being saved, God put no limitation on that. The psalmist David committed adultery, lied about it, had a man killed over it, and then he cried to God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And guess what God did? God restored to him the joy of his salvation. I say glory, glory, glory. Amen. If you don't get anything else I said today, I want you to get this. God can help you. You remember when Naomi went down there in the land of Moab and they left a house of bread. They left up in Bethlehem and Judea where they ought to be. They went down there and God sent judgment. Her husband died, two sons died, but Naomi had heard that God had visited his people, and she said, I'm going to rise and go back. I'm glad, praise God, you can hear God will visit his people, and you can arise and come home. Hallelujah. hey, every once in a while around the house of God, it may come a dry spell. Hey, maybe come a cold winter through, but springtime's on the way. Summer's coming. Roses will bloom again. And thank God, joy will come again. I say to you, friend, in your life it gets like that. It may be a cold winter. It may be froze up. It may be dried up. It may be hot and dry. But thank God, God's going to send the rain sometime somewhere. Elijah sent that servant out there and said, you go look. He said, I see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand to come. And no, Elijah told Ahab, said, get up. Hey, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I say, glory to God, I'm hearing some cloud of thunder, and I'm seeing some lightning flash. I'm hearing God moving on the scene. I say, hallelujah. God's good. And God will help you. Your life's grown cold. I know where you can get fixed up. Amen. You got out of the will of God. I know where you can get back in the will of God. You somewhere struggling, I know where you can come and he'll help you lift a burden. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you know Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord? Hey, I'm trying to tell you today, thank God he'll help you. Amen. Jonah chapter 3 verse 1 says, and the word of the Lord came the second time. Hallelujah. The second time. He messed up the first time. He missed it. He wouldn't go. Fact is, he went the wrong direction. But God showed up in his life. Said, get back there where I told you. And God helped him. God helped him. I'm glad God helps souls that will come. The Apostle Peter cursed and denied that he knew Jesus, but then he went out and wept bitter tears. God used him to preach on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved. Glory, hallelujah. Preacher, can God help me? Can God restore the joy of my heart? He sure can. He sure will. Say, preacher, I've been awful unfaithful. I've been awful out of the will of God. I've messed up. I haven't had joy. I hadn't really served God. Haven't really done. Well, God still loves you. And God wants to help you. It's not God's will that you struggle like that and you be out there out of the will of God. It's not God's will you live in sin. It's not God's will you live away from the joy of serving God. It's God's will that you have joy and that you know him and can shout to victory. You may not literally shout, and you may, but down in your heart, the joy bells will ring of being right with God. Didn't they sung that? You're just not saved. You don't know Christ. God loves you too. He'll save you. Say, preacher, I don't know what to do. Won't you just give up? Won't you just give up and say, I throw up my hands and surrender. I just give everything to God and come and say, God, I've messed up. I need you to restore the joy. God will help you. You can come and say, God, I'm lost. I need salvation. He'll save you. What's your problem anyway? Who are you? What kind of testimony are you leaving? What does others see about your life? These I read about in 3 John, they saw Gaius and these others. They saw certain things in their lives. Paul saw certain things in certain lives. What do men see in your life? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege that we have to open the Word of God, preach, and share Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you today that you're the God of this universe, the God of eternity, the God that has all power in heaven and in earth. And Father, we come this morning, these lives that are broken, lives that are struggling, lives that don't know which way to turn, what to do, but Jesus Christ stands ready to help them. Lord, I pray for those that know not Jesus, they'll come and be saved. I pray for those who are saved now the will of God, that they'll come and restore the joy.
I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl in the house of God. Help us all do what we wish we'd have done when we stand in judgment one day. This invitation, Lord, is your invitation. It's important. It's serious. And I pray you'd help every individual here take it that way. And may we all give you reverence during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.